I get a call from a friend one day, and he says, Rob, I have to tell you that there's someone inside your organization that's doing some things that they shouldn't be doing and trying to move business away from your company.
Hey there, friend. You're listening to the Hot Mess Hotline, and this is Stephanie Crevins. You are totally in the right place if you are an ambitious leader who is charged with delivering on the tech of the future right now. In order to do that, you and your team need to upskill in the process and tackle old problems with new ways of thinking. In the past, we would have called this change management and leadership development, but change is now the air we breathe, and your team needs a unified strategy for the 21st century. That's what we got for you here. These executive-level conversations are nuanced, insightful, and hard-earned lessons that you can put into practice as soon as this episode is over. Remember, small tweaks have huge impact, so take what's new and useful to you, leave the rest, share the podcast so other folks can listen. Today's episode is my dear, dear friend, Rob Field. He is a senior technical leader with more than 20 years of experience leading client engagements. He's highly accomplished, he's versatile, he's worked in global and national and local organizations running their IT. Today's story is the kind of IT nightmare that none of us want to face, but Rob had to face it. So with that, let's dig into this conversation.
All right, Rob, tell us about your hot mess, please.
This happened a couple of years ago, and we'll change the names to protect those, because this happened to be a IT leadership and security hot mess. So working in IT, especially for a global organization, you have, depending on the size of the organization, sometimes you have responsibilities for technology and cyber, and I had both. And due to the nature of the business, we had multiple compliance requirements, and our cyber footprint was really important, especially for the continuing of our business. Mm-hmm. So as a leader, you also have to remember you can't do it all. Your network extends to way further than just what's within the four walls of your organization.
Yes.
Continuing to build those relationships helps everything you do, and the rate of growth of technology expands so fast, if you think that you can learn it all, it's impossible. So with that, I have a propensity to want to build relationships in and out of your organization. It helps you in the organization to get things done there. And outside, this is a perfect example. I get a call from a friend one day, and he says, Rob, I have to tell you that there's someone inside your organization that's doing some things that they shouldn't be doing and trying to move business away from your company. So that's an insider threat. And we spend a lot of money on cybersecurity to not have threats come and attack our organization. But when there's an insider threat, it's the harder of the two to deal with.
Oof.
Yeah. And I had a very young organization. And as an IT leader, sometimes people say things that they don't mean, just out of frustration. And usually when they do it, it's at directed IT, and IT did this, IT did that, and I'm not going to use those expletives we might read in an email when you're doing these types of forensics. But as a result, with a younger organization, as a mentor, sometimes you can't unsee things.
Mm-hmm.
So this hot mess was, we had to figure out, because of an external relationship, who was trying to take this business from our organization and move it elsewhere and make sure that I protected my organization and my people in the process.
Oh my gosh. So, I mean, first and foremost, when we think about threats to our business, we always, I mean, I don't know about you, probably now after this event, you don't, but like, we think about external threats. We think about folks from the outside coming into our digital four walls to steal IP, to steal our trade secrets, to hire our people away. And then you've got somebody on the inside who's trying to take business away from the existing business, and I'm sure benefit from it personally, no doubt. And the nature of all of this, you know, you don't find this out through forensics, you find it out because of your relationships. And now you know, man, I got to go on the hunt, and I got to find it, and I got to see things I don't want to see.
And
I can't unsee.
and I still haven't unseen some of that to this day. But
that's the problem.
You have to learn to practice empathy and forgiveness and understanding, because people say things they don't mean out of frustration, and it's only a moment in time. It's not a lifetime. I always say my superpower is building profound and meaningful relationships, both within our organization and beyond our four walls. So not every relationship is rosy every time. So we do have speed bumps, but they're good things as well. So if something bad happens, you get past that and you try to think about others in that situation. Empathy is really important, especially in situations like this, but trust and verify. And while we want to be partners with the business, we are there to protect the business. We're stewards of data.
Yep.
We're securing the platforms, and you have to go on the hunt. And while there are some tools, there are also not tools, and you have to do things that others cannot. And that's why you're trusted to do these things.
Yeah. And in your role at that time as the senior most IT person, only you could do it. Only you could dig in to see what needed to be seen.
I mean, in this type of situation, it's me, it's the head of HR, it's the CEO, and the head of finance, who were the only people at the time who could even know what's going on, because we didn't know who it was.
Yes.
They couldn't share who was happening with me. It was information that came from outside the organization, and everybody is suspect at that time.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. What this reminds me of too, and I have an organization I'm working with, just to go back to, like, when you dig into forensics, you're going to have to see those emails where people are cussing out IT, right? Just to hunt down this one very serious situation. I have an organization I work with, and we unrolled a project, and folks forgot that Teams or Slack or whatever chat tool they use is company material for y'all to do your job. It's not social media. It's not Reddit. And I'm a solid Gen Xer that always believed, like, any email you write, you should be ready to have that deposed in court. Like, it's just, it's my own philosophy. And even in this work, I don't put anything disparaging of people in email because of that. Like, that's just cruel. Like, that's just cruel to do to people. And you're always going to be held accountable to what you put in writing. It just, the whole Gen X thing of, like, whatever you write on company property is company property. You best be prepared for that to be read in court. I don't care what it is. So that's my own side comment there. But so take us back. So you're doing the forensics.
Well,
you see the actually, stuff.
That's very good. It is company policy, and that helped us because this people used company equipment. So
What, like, hashtag how dumb, man. I'm sorry, but hashtag how dumb. Like, come on now. All right.
True.
So you're digging through all of this. You're digging through your own company's property to find the enemy within the walls. Walk us through, you know, what are you just, obviously we have to keep this information, this situation confidential, but walk us through what you're experiencing as you're trying to sort this out.
You know, it's unsettling, right? People are in your backyard trying to take something away from you. It's your house. And you spend a lot of time as an IT leader building campaigns to the board. Hey, I want to spend this much money to protect our environment. I want to do this to make sure we run campaigns, the phishing campaigns. And we talk about the importance of data, the importance of communication. But something like this is they're taking something you feel like from you, and it becomes very personal. And even more personal because I have a full-time job. I have other things I have to do. Tons of responsibility. And this becomes more than a technology solution. The forensics we have to do sometimes is very specific and reading through stuff and trying to find patterns. And there was a lot of manual stuff I had to do. And we have technologies like MDR and XDR that help us manage things. But this required a lot of manual stuff that took away from everything else I had to do. So while I had a full-time job, I now have another full-time job amongst everything else I have to do. And the onus falls upon a very small subset of people.
Yes.
And as you realize, it's not others. You could bring others in the loop, but it's still a very humbling experience that you think that you have a full view of everything you control, but you don't.
Okay, so this brings up a good question because we talk a lot about here at the Change Architects controlling the controllables. What did you learn was out of your control during this situation?
Well, what I learned and what I felt are two different things. That's so though, and I'd like to hit on that. So what I felt was everything's out of my control. But we've learned that a couple times, and you know, also through my career as a Gen Xer as well. We've seen a lot of transformations throughout our careers. While I define digital transformation as business transformation using technology as a disruptor, every time there's a transformation, things seem to move in a direction that wasn't controllable before. When we had a big plan prior to COVID changed our plan.
Yes.
So I couldn't control anything. I had to just redo. And we planned for things. And we, you know, you have a business continuity disaster recovery plan, plan for the worst, hope for the best. But I felt nothing was in my control. Now, what I could control and what I couldn't control is I could control the systems we have. I could control the things that technology allows us to do. Yep. I could control how I react to that and how I let people see.
Yes.
There's a phrase I used to use. I was a duck on the water. People thought I was very calm, but under the water, my feet were moving a mile a minute.
Yep.
Up at 4 a.m. to midnight every day, 7 days a week, for months trying to figure this out until we finally did. But the only thing I could control was how I reacted to this and how we solved the problem.
Oh, yes. Oh my gosh. Well, and so for listeners coming into this, to this episode, Rob and I met during this time and we are close. We're thick as thieves. I had no idea. And I know why I had no idea, but I had no idea that you were going through this at the time that we met. And that's heartbreaking for me personally to think about what you had to shoulder because of that situation.
And we could probably do a whole show on that few days in New York City, because that was my only outlet during that time. And, you know, I won't share those specifics here. It was a fun weekend. Thank you. But it took me away from what we were going through. Yes. But it was a lot during that time. And that's what we do when we take this job on. IT is not a 9-to-5 job. We hope to do things that are not technology all the time. We want to do things that help the business grow and help the business transform. And if possible, become a profit center for the business by building things for them that drive revenue. But we're really there to operationally make sure the business is running, they can do what they need to do and protect them.
My gosh. What's next? Like what happened? You know, you're walking through this, you're doing the forensics. Walk us through, you know, these other implications as they unfold.
I mean, to save people a lot of agita through this thing, we ultimately found out who it was and we took care of that. But there was an impact from that, right? And you know, first we had to let people know what happened. And as we figured out who it was, we brought more people into the process and it got easier and easier. Didn't take away the stress, but it did get easier. And when we finally found out who it was, we had to take a real hard look at what our policies were, what our procedures were. And change management became a really, really important part. We preach it often, but sometimes people don't really take change management seriously. And it did give us a stronger voice in the organization. You know, sometimes a failure does help move you forward.
Yes.
But in this situation, it was important. So how we handle with our edge devices and where people are allowed to have access to and, you know, the policies around what we use devices for and what information and what we watch, right? You know that if there's a large amount of data moving around, something's going on. Then, you know, we watch things a little bit closer for a while. So it's, you know, human behavior becomes a big component of how IT manages their day.
Ah, yes. Okay.
So those changes were really integral in what we build in our day forward. And it becomes an important part in how you look at the human element and how they interact with technology and what technology does to drive the way operations run going forward. And again, COVID situation like this just proved that the impact technology has on a day-to-day can either cripple or grow a business depending on one little tiny event.
Oh, yes. And one person, one bad actor. I mean,
one bad actor.
Yeah. And in 10 years, the lesson's going to be like, thank you to that bad actor for this company, for strengthening the company. That is not at all what it feels like in the moment.
In the moment, again, you feel very, very alone. And there are, you know, I'm involved with companies now that are helping this type of stuff. And I see more and more things that are helping inside and outside of organizations. Unfortunately, cyber insurance is going up more. And I just dated this, so hopefully it goes down and everything comes out, but unlikely. and there are things that we work every day to do. And hopefully AI will play a bigger part in this, and especially looking at patterns and behaviors and technology like with Phoenix Pyre, where they, you know, make data theft a lot harder because they encrypt things in use to the location. You know, it's a new DLP that doesn't allow people to steal data, right? There are things like that that help us make sure we can protect our data. But, you know, right now I believe on, and I don't know the exact number, but in every boardroom, if cybersecurity isn't in your top three priorities, then you're doing something wrong. Profits have to be one. Yes, I understand revenue is right up there, but two or three, cybersecurity has to be there.
Yes. Yes. Well, let's take a quick break and we're going to come back and let's talk about the ways in which Rob as a leader upskilled, what he learned, how his relationships were strengthened. I don't know why I'm talking about you in the third person, but your relationships were strengthened. And what in part I think is fascinating too, is there is now technological solutions that can now do this kind of forensics because of AI that, you know, just you just didn't have access to even a couple of years ago, and what that can mean for our businesses and our leaders moving forward. Sound good?
Sound great.
All right. Well, we take a quick break from this amazing conversation today. I want to share with you a new tool that I have for you. I think that there's a myth in our workplaces. Well, let me say this. I know there's a myth in our workplaces that meetings have to suck, and I don't believe that whatsoever. By all accounts, our time in meetings have doubled, if not more, since the start of the pandemic. And this time with your colleagues should not be a waste of time. It should be the most valuable. So if you're looking for more resources to lead meetings that are productive, powerful, impactful, and have everyone participating, get over to my website at stephaniecrevins.com/lead-kickass-meetings and get some new tools so that when you leave a meeting with your colleagues, you're not left going, what the actual F was that? You're going, yes, we're going to take on the world together. Let's get this done, because it was an unbelievably powerful meeting. Those tools are out there for you, my friends, and they're on my website today, stephaniecrevins.com/lead-kickass-meetings. Now, let's get back into that conversation. So, Rob, let's dig back in. And I want to start first with, what were the critical skills that you learned as a leader that you now have the opportunity to use moving forward?
So, there's so many here, Stephanie, because it hit every area of what we do. Yeah. And I'd be remiss if I didn't lead with the most important thing I took away, which I've doubled down on, is building relationships.
Yes.
And starting in the organization, at every level, you have to build a relationship. Know who everyone is, know what makes them tick, know what's important to them, making sure that every voice is heard, have empathy. Without building those relationships, then you can't do what you do. We can't do what we do. I had a friend a long time ago. He told me, you can be the best developer in the world. Without a great salesperson, you'll never work a day in your life. And having empathy and understanding people for what they bring to your organization is important. So take yourself out of the equation, understand what's happening, build those relationships, and have a thick skin or a Teflon. Just make sure that you don't take it personally. You have a job to do, they have a job to do. And Gen Xers, we go out and have a beer at the end of the day. And
that's fine. Right. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So I think building relationships is absolutely number one. Number two, it has to be managing that change. And I know with your organization, what you do, but change management is critical. It's managing the homeostasis. If things go up, things go down, seeing little patterns that change the organization. If you're not managing, documenting, communicating those changes, then you're not managing with transparency. You're not really on board of what you're building, and you're just primed for carnage. And I think we took a much more proactive approach at cybersecurity and change management at that point, and it really locked everything down where we were more confident in everything we were doing.
Oh, you bring up such an important point, and here's a dot that I want to connect in a new way that I hadn't. When you have an intentional change management strategy, it allows you to be transparent with your people in a way that you can't without it. And employees today, now more than ever, are demanding transparency from their employers. And that doesn't mean open all the books and let people see everything. That's what my older Gen Xers and my baby boomers hear. That's not what transparency has to mean. But when you have a solid change management program, you can articulate how things are done, how technology is adopted, why something was clamped down over here but opened up over here. It allows you to be transparent with your people.
Absolutely.
I got to use that. I got to use that moving forward. Thanks, Rob.
Well, so they saw the change in me during that time period, and I had to make sure that after I sat them all down, I explained to them what I did and why I did. Yes. And they're the future leaders of tomorrow anyway. And
yep.
Give them the respect, be transparent with them as much as you can. In situations like this, you really can't while it's happening.
Yeah.
But I believe that a key component of every good leader is full transparency too. And so please, everyone should always be transparent with your team. And that's how you develop people. Can't tell you that there are too many leaders out there that are not transparent, and people don't leave companies, they leave bad managers.
Yes, always, always. I'm reminded of another podcast guest that we had, and he's a CRO, and he's probably one of the best negotiators I've ever interacted with. I mean, he's just impressive, but he believes in full transparency. And what he says is, you have every right to ask me any question that you want. And sometimes I'm going to have to say, I can't answer that.
Yes. And this was a situation where I couldn't tell them what I was doing.
No.
But the only other thing I traditionally take off the table are personnel issues. Yeah. Outside of that, what can I talk about that I don't need help? Because again, it takes a village, and that might be someone who is new, has an inexperienced approach to something, and they might ask the best question that brings us to the next level that I can't see.
No, for sure, for sure. The dummy curve is real and it is helpful.
Tremendously helpful.
Yeah. All right. Any other skills that you feel like you walked away from this? Like, what made you, how were you stronger because you unfortunately had to go through this?
The process of having to sell your budget is really, really important. And I talk to friends often, and I don't sell, I influence, but the power that you have to build to be able to communicate what you need, why you need it, be prepared, take the time out to be thoughtful. Being in technology, there's always a conversation around how much you want to spend or how much you need.
Yeah.
But the thoughtfulness and the time you take to put that budget together, because you need stuff that you can't get. And sometimes people don't understand. They don't understand the value of, why do you need this platform or this technology to protect our organization? We don't have those problems, you know, and you do. And there is a lot that goes into running an organization. People are usually the largest budget, but right after that, it's technology and it's serious. So stay up on it, use your team, do as much research as you can, but really take the time and the detail of putting your budget together well, and learn how to influence your board, how to influence your executive teams, so that way you can get those things you need to protect your organization.
Yes, yes. And if you, let's say this unfortunately happens again in the future, what would you do differently?
It's hard, but there are tools. And I did mention just briefly before, I did find that new company, Phoenix Fire. I think they're fantastic. Their phrase is, they make data theft irrelevant, you know, so no more ransomware from a data stealing perspective. There's new XDRs out there and MDRs that help you manage that data, that security process around there. But ultimately, managing and watching your data in your organization, knowing where it is at all times, really helps you understand that. And with these new AI tools that can show you patterns and what happens with people and data, because everything in an organization is people, process, technology, and data. And when you'd be very happy, I'm still with the people, process, technology part.
that's right.
But it is all about people, process, technology, and data. And if you have enough of that information and you're starting to get into this concept of, you can't do it on your own, and realize it, you grab an AI, you look at these patterns, you can read the patterns, and that can really help you be more agile to react to these things quicker.
Yes.
The quicker you react to this, the quicker you'd save that time and hopefully have less of an opportunity to be exposed. You want to be as limited exposed as you can to these type of threats. Otherwise, you know, there are many, many, many CXOs, you know, chief information officers, chief information security officers, that lose their roles because they were not being protective of their organization.
Yes. And when I think about, basically, I mean, the American workforce economy is all about data, IP, knowledge services. You know, it's what our people create inside of our organizations. What else is there to protect? You know, like this seems mission critical to me. And if now we have technology that can help us identify that more quickly, man, we've got to get on it.
Yeah, you want to be able to identify it. You want to be able to protect it. But we've been talking about identity theft for a long, long time, right?
Yes.
It's taken us a long time to get here, but take advantage of the things that can help you do it, because your personal identifiable information is important. Your company data information is important. There are bad actors out there that are trying very hard to do this. And just the only other thing I would implore to those who are not in IT, please have empathy on all your IT workers, because they're trying really hard to protect your data.
That's right. That's right. I mean, gosh, as we're recording this, and we have this will be released publicly very soon, but there's a major pharmaceutical company that's been down because of a cyber attack for at least 7 days now. Like, this is big. This is real. Oh, it's heartbreaking. And when you think about the impact to the medical community and people needing medicine, like, the impact it makes me nauseous to talk about. It just makes me nauseous what's happening and what our poor IT friends are going through at this company right now.
And I heard about that as it was happening. because the network I'm in, and we have a WhatsApp group and a chat group, and there are multiple networks through a few of my professional networking groups, and everyone comes together and says, hey, this is happening. Please get in and protect your own organization. So that is going on right now. We've known since it started. And the nice thing about it, even though it's a bad situation for that organization, everyone else is rallying around each other and trying to help them. It's less about me competing against your business, but these groups that we're now part of, and all these CIOs are coming and chief information officers and chief information security officers are trying to do is help each other with awareness. And again, if you can get out there and join a network, join a group, connect with others, because they will help make you more aware of what's going on than you can on your own.
Yes, absolutely. So Rob, one last question. I'll let you get back to protecting your part of the world. How did your sense of integrity serve you through this situation? And how does it continue to serve you today?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I hit really, really hard home right now, Stephanie. But as you know, since that situation, I've taken on a much higher moral high ground, and I take much more stake in my integrity now than ever before. When I saw this and I saw the things that were happening and the cascading effect when we found out who was doing things here and what was going on, I realized that the bad things that happen that don't need to be happening are not going to be things that I'm ever going to cause. And I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that that stays as far away from me as possible. So I'm not going to contribute to that. I don't want to ever be on the receiving end of what's going on there.
Yeah.
So I hope to protect those that aren't as well from those that do.
Yes. Yes. I love that. Yeah. When we were, my husband and I were going through our foster care journey, and I've brought it up many times, and it was just truly one of those most gut-wrenching transformative events of our life. I had to start asking myself every day, what's the story that I want to tell about this situation when it's over? And I borrowed that from another leader, but it's basically like, how can I, if I get called into accountability, if this situation comes up, and I use it at work every day too, it's how do I want to tell the story of how I showed up with integrity, how I made the best decision in the moment that I could with the information that I had, and kind of reverse engineered that and allowed me to work through that with integrity so that, because that's all we have is the information in front of us at the moment. And if we can show up feeling confident that we did all that we could with what we had, that's enough. Like, that is enough to be in integrity.
It's my motto, always do the right thing.
Always. All right. Thank you, Rob. I'll see you very soon.
See you soon.
My friend, I cannot impress enough upon you how deeply and how seriously Rob takes his relationships. I hope this story drove the point home for you why you need those types of relationships inside and outside of your organization. What strikes me about this scenario is that Rob's integrity truly solved a technological challenge, a business challenge, right? He used technology to discover what in the hell was going on with this insider threat, but his relationships and the integrity that he holds in his relationships is what discovered this problem. I want you to be able to say that your relationships are that strong too, that they are what help you truly solve business challenges. Couple of my high-level takeaways, and then I would love to hear yours wherever you're listening or watching in, right? This focus on empathy and understanding. Right, folks are gonna pop off at work. Folks are gonna put things in writing that they regret. We've all had bad days. How can we give each other grace, understanding, and empathy? And then this notion that a proper change management strategy and program truly allows our leaders to be transparent with their people in the right ways at the right time. And if you need help digging into that, I'd love to chat. There's so many processes and strategies and ways of thinking that can bring transparency while also driving change. And so again, let's just give a plug to Phoenix Pyre here. They're not asking us to, but this is some latest tech that could help you all uncover data breaches, possible data stealing, data theft, if you will, inside of your organization before it happens. 2 years ago, it wasn't an option. Phoenix Pyre is now an option. Rob, full disclosure, Rob sits on the advisory board of that organization, but I think it's really important to highlight that we now have multiple tools at our disposal for this kind of forensics, unfortunately. The last thing I'm going to leave with you before you get back to changing your part of the world is, when in doubt, always do the right thing. And I know that can feel hard in the moment. So when you're like, Stephanie, sometimes I don't know what the right thing is to do here, just do the next right thing. Just take the next baby step that you feel is right in your gut, is an integrity, and feels authentic to you. That is always the right answer. All right, my friend. Now, if you got value from this, would you please share it with another pro troublemaker that is ambitious, trying to pull off something big? You hope that they would gain insights too, because if you learn something, my hope is that your friends will learn something too. And now, let's get back to the big transformational work that is driving change, and I'll see you soon.